This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fine dining. The search for the most mediocre restaurant in America is a podcast where Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. His most recent episode featured guests Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's food court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Head on over to linktree.com/fine dining podcast and click Bees giveaway to enter for an all-expense-paid trip to your local Applebee's. The current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. Asterisk $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee's gift card.
Welcome to a Funny Feeling Podcast. I'm Betsy Sodaro.
And I'm Marcy Jarro. This is a podcast where comedians tell us their paranormal experiences, and we listen to yours as well.
Oh, yeah. And if you have one of these paranormal experiences that you want to share with us, please email it to us at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com.
Now get cozy.
And prepare yourself to be scared silly.
This is a Funny Feeling Podcast.
Okay, that's great.
Betsy, hi.
Oh, hi, Marcy. Ha, that's a great story, Marcy. A little Tommy Wiseau for you kids. A little Tommy Wiseau for you kids.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah.
Bury the Room. I watched a horror movie. I'm sorry, I'm just getting right into it. On
Go
Shudder
for it.
Called Verotica. So it's the combo of violence and erotica.
Oh, and what if that's the only way you can get off from now on?
And I got to tell you, it was like The Room. It's on Shudder. If anybody's feeling like, I watched it with Gilly and Mark Rennie over FaceTime, and we were laughing the entire time. It was a delight. It's terrible, but very fun. If you're looking for one of those, like, I just need to laugh.
Yeah, I don't know that I need to watch something stupid.
It's a fun stupid. Like, it's bad. But I think if you want to watch that, let me know. I'll watch it with you because it's fun to watch with someone. Like, you got to be able to be like, what the fuck? Why are they doing that? It's great. It's great.
Also, remember in the 90s when there were movies like The Crush, Poison Ivy, and it was just like seductive little girls?
Yeah. Mono and I watched The Crush somewhat within the last couple of months.
It's effed.
It's wild, dude.
It's like upsetting.
It's wild, man. It's so, it blew my mind.
You're like, I don't think they can do that.
I was just like, is this allowed to make? Like,
is this allowed to make?
Wait, is this allowed to make, huh? It broke my brain. I didn't know how to form proper sentences.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. You know what? Last week we had so many good recommendations of things I'd watch, but this week I've only watched MSNBC constantly.
Oh, I know. It was a big news week. I've been watching a lot of Survivor.
Ooh,
which is
nice.
Pretty fun, like, to just have on in the background while you do stuff. Or
now I'm listening to a podcast obsessively that actually Karen Kilgariff recommended on My Favorite Murder.
Cool. What is it?
It's called I Hope We Don't Meet.
Whoa. Yeah.
I Hope We Don't Meet. Is that what
okay?
It's called? I might be making up that name.
I Hope We Don't Meet.
It sounds funny as I'm saying it out loud, but wait, hold on. Don't
also
play.
Sorry if you Let's hear not. Dog it's called in the background, everyone.
Puppy. It's called Let's Not Meet.
Let's Not Meet. Okay.
And it's people's true like horror accounts of close calls with someone and that they hope they never meet again. It's great.
What? That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm
it's got
that.
It's got things like people hiding in walls, you know, inside homes. It's got, you know, like people like real scary stuff, like people like seeming like a lot of stories where you are like, that woman was almost kidnapped and trafficked.
Holy shit, dude.
Look,
that's spooky, man.
I hope I don't sound anti-feminist, but women literally cannot drive and pull over at night. Like,
it's scary. It's really scary.
People will try to snatch
you. I remember my parents were always like, at nighttime, if it's like, if you see the lights flashing, pull in where there are other people. They're like, I don't care. The cops should understand if they are an actual cop, but like...
Yeah, you can also call 911 to like make sure that it's a legitimate cop.
That's so good to know.
But yeah, you could just slow down and put your hazards on and like...
Yeah.
Because I had family in law enforcement and they always said that too, because I was from a rural part of Louisiana.
Yeah, rural.
Rural part.
Rural.
And... yeah, put your hazards on.
That's really good to know.
Do not be pulling over.
Be like, I know, I see you, but let's go somewhere where there's lights and people.
And then set up your tripod and start live streaming everything.
Got it. I carry my tripod with me everywhere I go.
Yeah, you set up four cameras so you can get a lot of different angles. Put your GoPro on your hard hat.
Yeah, my hard hat.
You're being live streamed right now. What up? What up?
Just so you know. Just so you know.
Hey, dogs.
Yo, what's up? It's Betsy. I'm getting pulled over again. Here we go.
Again. I'm a reckless driver.
Pew, 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 pew. I'm technically blind at night, so... Wow, I'm hitting stuff.
I'm hitting stuff. that's my big, that's what do we do a PSA? Is that what we just did?
I think we just did a perfect PSA that will save many lives.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only other big news that happened in my week was a skunk was outside last night.
Dude, a skunk was outside our place a couple of nights ago.
Just those little bumbling dum-dums.
Just bumbling around, stinking a little bit.
They amble and just
They
kind
love
of,
ambling.
They just plod along. They tilt back and forth as they walk. With their like beautiful little, they're the cutest animal.
They're very cute.
Yeah.
They're very cute.
I've had a skunk charge me before.
Oh, Marcy! No spray?
No spray, because it was coming at me. It was
scary.
By UCB Franklin.
Oh, I mean, the animals below the hills, they are comfortable.
Yes. They're so used to us, and like, I don't give fucks.
Yeah. We have a couple of squirrels around our place where it's like, I feel they're going to fucking jump on my face.
Oh, like, they probably, if they had any reason to.
Yeah. And they're just fat and well fed and they just, they run my house.
Juicy squirrels.
A bunch of squirrels run my house.
Betsy lives with a bunch of squirrels.
They set up my whole podcast situation right now.
They're engineering.
They're making sure my levels are perfect.
Can you edit that out?
Squeak, 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 squeak.
My neighbor said that he has seen our... He's seen a bunch of raccoons crawling up in the trees.
Whoa, yeah.
And I briefly forgot that raccoons can climb. That's kind of their deal.
Yeah. You know the fence part in our backyard? Like there's that little fence area.
Yeah.
There are a couple raccoons like when we're hanging out outside that'll just come and be hanging on that fence. And we're just like, are you going to fuck? fucking jump on us, or what are you doing?
They're
man?
Waiting for you. They're like, we're trying to be polite, but we would really love to go to your trash can.
Yeah,
could
we
you
really
move?
Want to hit up your trash cans, please.
I'm a trash panda.
Thank
Excuse
you.
Me.
I'm a trash bandit. Come on.
Ever heard of her? should we start actually?
Let's actually
listening?
Get scary.
Yeah. I'm
Enough
talking,
of this bullshit.
Just stupid as hell. Stupid as
We're
hell.
We're just talking about the dumbest fucking shit.
What's wrong
the
with
stupidest
me?
Stupidest. Dumb as fucking shit.
I need to leave my house.
This is, yeah, it's like we just don't talk to people or see people anymore, and now we just record our hangouts.
We're just babbling.
You know, we're just fucking rambling on.
Also,
because this was a really weird, bad week, and it just feels weird and crazy.
It's really fucked. Stop, you guys. I painted my house like an American flag. I'm so upset. I'm so upset. I painted the roof of my house like an American flag. It took me forever.
It took me so long because I felt like, America, we're moving in the right direction. And now it's like, oh, shoot.
Yeah, and I missed the spot. I had to walk all over. It's those little red, white footprints alternating. Okay.
Let's get scary. Get scared, huh?
I'm nutso butso.
I'm so nutso butso. I gotta get a little scared, dude.
I gotta. All right, I'm gonna read one. How about that?
Hell yeah, give it to me.
Give it to me, baby. That's not give the first time we. That's not even the 100th time, right?
What? That so we've done that.
Yeah, that Offspring.
Yeah, I don't fucking know anymore.
Hey man,
I don't know what day. I don't know what's up, what's right, what's wrong, what's down, what's left. I don't fucking know, man.
Oh no. Okay, this one is entitled "What My Mother Calls a Fun Vacation."
Ooh.
Hi again. Ooh.
Again. Okay.
Oh, yes. Okay. I wrote in a while ago about the creepy house listing with the handprint in the carpet. Yes.
Ooh,
you
I just
did.
Got chills. Okay. Okay.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did.
I have a lot of stories that I'm really excited to share. Oh,
yes.
Yes.
Great.
About 8 to 10 years ago, my mother planned our family vacation to a cute little town near Santa Barbara called Summerland.
Oh.
Heard of it.
Nice. I have not.
My mom picked it. Because she read about the spiritualists who lived there that used to have seances. We are very into fun, spooky things. But this was a first for us. There were cute little bungalows walking distance to the beach. It was adorable and old. Like one bathroom for our house and no closets. So you get this fucking weird ass wardrobe in the corner that you're sure something's going to come out of in the middle of the night. Old.
Yep. Ew. You're asking for trouble.
You're going to get spooked. You're going to see fingers coming out them doors.
Dude, yeah. You're gonna hear shit. You're going to see fingers. You're going to see two hands come out and clap. It's
There's
going to
be
nasty.
Some knocking and
Lots
slamming.
Lots of knocking.
As soon as I stepped into the house, I did not want to be alone, especially in the shower. My cousin came with us, so I made her sit on the toilet when I would shower. Next time we go anywhere, Betsy, I'm going to do that to you. And then I'm going to make you sit on the sink when I take a shit.
Marcy, are you sure?
You're going to be like the elf on the shelf of Friends.
Yeah, you just place me wherever you need to feel comfortable to do your business.
I also imagine your like little feet swinging.
Just dangling as you're taking a dump.
Tiny
I'll
Betsy.
Cheer you on. I'll cheer you on.
Yeah.
Get push, it. Squeeze. Yeah. Squeeze.
Don't give up. Don't
do
give
not
up.
Give
you got more
up.
Inside of you. You got
yeah,
more inside.
I know you do.
We're gross. Okay. On the second day, my cousin, mother, and I went to have fun and ended up at the local toy store.
Wow.
Where my toy store. That's
toy
hard.
Store. Toy Story 3.
Ended up at the local toy store where my mother did the most shocking thing. She bought a Ouija board.
Mom!
This born in Central America, raised Catholic, deranged woman just bought a devil board. It was fucking sweet and led to so much trouble. We'll write in about that later.
Whoa.
It was our last night there, so as it got dark, we whipped out that little bitch and started playing. I don't remember if my dad played, but for sure my mother and cousin. I remember getting scared and not playing for a few minutes at a time. But let me tell you, these church hoes didn't care and played the whole time. You know why? Because they were bathed in the blood of Jesus and they were fine.
Oh, yeah. And they're like, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine.
We're going to be fine.
We're going to be okay because we have Jesus protecting us.
Mm-hmm.
Bathed in his blood?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Washed in the blood of Jesus. That's a good thing.
That's people, a thing?
That's what people were going to church in the in the pandemic because they're like, I'm washed in the blood of Jesus.
What?
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. Splish, splash. I was taking a bath all upon my Jesus' night. Okay. We ended up talking to a man named William.
Whoa.
He told us that the house originally belonged to his mother, that he is stuck and can't move on because he feels guilty about his car accident that caused both him and his mother's death. It was kind of sad, and we all went to bed after that. Ooh. My cousin and I were laying in bed talking when out of freaking nowhere, the freaking wardrobe made a noise like the door was trying to be opened, but couldn't because of the force you'd have to use. My cousin quickly told me to keep talking to distract ourselves. We ended up falling asleep soon after that. In the morning, while we were getting ready to leave the house, the phone rang and Dad answered. He said, what, a few times, then said no and hung up. We asked him who it was, and he said it was fuzzy and he couldn't really hear. But it sounded like a woman asking for William.
No. Oh, I just got crazy chills.
We flipped out, except my dad, of course, packed up and left.
What?
So if you want a funny feeling, go there.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I wrote about the first quarter of the email, then got tired. I laid down to go to sleep, and it felt like someone was fucking poking the back of my head through the pillow. It was the weirdest fucking thing I've ever experienced before. Maybe William was saying hi. Anyways, love the podcast. I like to see what's the longest I can go without listening, then binge.
Nice.
Always so heartbreaking when I run out. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Whoa, dude.
That's fucking creepy, man.
Especially if Dad didn't play with them.
Right. We got wardrobe scare. We got phone scare. This is spooky, man. We got to go stay there.
Also, something is very spooky about like a beach town.
Oh, yeah.
Right, like,
yeah,
especially like with the cold Pacific waters.
Ooh, people, water, man, is just scary.
Yeah, the ocean is
the ocean's
so
too powerful, and we shouldn't fuck with it, man. I'm telling we shouldn't fuck with the ocean, man. It's too powerful, and there's shit in there that we don't even know exists.
We gotta stay out of the ocean.
We gotta stay off of it and out of it, okay? Seas are fine. Go to seas, but and gulfs, go to gulfs. But hey, man.
Yeah, you need to be able to get to land, is the thing.
You gotta be able to get to land.
You know, that actually was an issue when I did that cruise that I performed on, and we were in the Alaskan Gulf.
Yeah.
But it's so vast.
Right.
And one night we were just not even, well, it was night, but it was also daylight.
Yes, of course. Yep. Yeah.
So we're standing out there as the sun is setting at like midnight or something.
God.
And we're just like, this is fucking scary.
It's, yeah, man. Yeah, I've done one cruise once in my life. It was through the Galapagos Islands, which rules. I probably have talked about it before. But,
that's fun.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was incredible. I mean, it was also if we're doing some laundry's happening. So if you hear a rumble, it's not a ghost. It's the dryer. But there was one part of the trip where you couldn't see land, and it was so scary. And it was during the day, but it was still so just like, oh my God. Oh my, yeah, it's so vast.
Yeah.
It's just spooky out there.
And I know I've already said this, but one of our first week, we had the head of entertainment for like all of the ships because we were like a new contract and they wanted to see how we worked out.
That makes sense.
So he was sort of like wining and dining us and like showing us the ship. And at dinner one night, he was telling us about like we were like, has anything creepy happened? You know, always gotta ask. He told us about someone jumping off the ship and how they even figured out that she had done it, because like when someone jumps, when something goes overboard and an alarm goes off and then an immediate investigation, because at night you couldn't see, you wouldn't be able to know what it is. And so the alarm goes off and they know like where the person was when the alarm went off, because they know what section of the ship.
Okay.
So they start having to look at security footage and they see like this woman wearing a hat hovering. No. So you couldn't see her face. And this is night, so there's no distinguishing features. Then she's always walking away from the camera. So they had they couldn't figure out who she was.
Ew.
And eventually, like, they had to just like check all the all the room keys of everyone to like see. And I was like, oh my gosh, but what happens? Like, what if she was just out in the ocean? He's like, well, we know that she isn't, because the pull of the ship.
Yeah, sucks you right in, right?
It sucks you through the motor.
Dude. That
was a terrible story. Should I not tell that story? It's terrible.
That was so scary. No, it's a good story that's fucked up.
Yeah, yeah. And then he told us another story about people fucking on a balcony and they fucked each other off. But they were on the back of the ship, so they just kind of like plopped off. Luckily, they were found naked hours later. But then what happens is when they find them.
Yeah.
Because like a ship can't stop.
Of course not.
Because it can't turn around. It would take hours for it to be a big ship like that. Just can't. Yeah. It cannot stop. It cannot turn around.
Whoa.
It takes so much maneuvering for a vessel of that size. So they just kind of have to call the Coast Guard. And so they get out. They find these people who had been in the water for 5 hours, just
naked
treading water.
And still horny.
Because it's,
you know, they're still horny.
So horny. And just having a hard time connecting underwater. They separate them immediately, put them in two different like boats to get back, because they started interrogate, because they want to know what happened.
Of course.
Just
of
in
course.
Case it was
just
foul
in case
play
it was,
or
spooky.
But he was like, I think they were just kind of like
doing
maybe
it
on some drugs and
right
they did some
Whoa.
Cocaine.
Oh my God. That's nuts, dude.
You gotta be careful on a ship.
You gotta be careful on boats. I'm telling you, we should not be on water at all, okay? It's as simple as that. Just stay away from water. It's too powerful. Excuse me.
Also, look, we are too trusting of both gravity and flotation, because at any moment either of them could just stop happening.
Dude, what if gravity just stopped happening?
I don't know why
our heads on the ceiling.
I don't know why it hasn't yet.
I know, it feels like if I was Earth, I'd be like, okay, we're done with gravity, guys.
What if it just was like, ugh, I'm not rotating anymore. I'm over it.
I'm so over it. Whatever. Whoa, that was spooky. Okay. I'm going to read one. Spooky? Okay. This is called Ghost Dog Still Hates Neighbor. Hi, Marcy and Betsy. Love listening to the pod. Every time I hear a new story, I remember one of my own creepy experiences. Ooh. So I'm collecting them to write down and will send them in to you guys as they come to me. Here's one for you.
Great.
Perfect. I like this plan. I like this plan. Okay.
I like it.
Yo. Our neighbors were an older couple from Louisiana. Do you know them, Marcy? Do you know them?
I know. Oh, wait, I do know an older couple. Yes, I know
them.
There
you go. You know them. Okay. Our neighbors were an older couple from Louisiana who taught us how to urban garden in our tiny slice of a Los Angeles backyard. They were the best. They had a giant black and white spotted Great Dane named Bessie. I almost said Betsy. Which is named Betsy. Named Bessie, who was super sweet. That's so cute. Unfortunately for Bessie, all us neighborhood kids were assholes and would peek over the fence just to get her to bark, which was so deep it would vibrate your whole body, I bet. Woof. So when it came time for our family to get a dog, our neighbor decided to return the favor. It's only fair. We adopted a Yorkshire Terrier named Monty, who hated everyone and everything except my mom, of course. He promptly made his spot in the bay window at the front of the house so he could bark at everything passing by. This made the perfect vantage point from which our neighbor could torture him, all in good fun, by giving him a wave and a loud woof, sending Monty on a barking frenzy. The day we all drove to Santa Barbara for my sister's college graduation, we got a text from a friend tasked to watch Monty saying he wasn't doing well.
Oh, no.
After the graduation, we sped back home and ran in to find him lying on his side on the rug, having been unable to keep water or food down for hours.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Apparently, his belly was full of cancer and pressing on his organs.
No.
What? My parents took him to the vet, and he passed that night. One last fuck you to my sister on her graduation day, who he hated the most. We think he was waiting until we left the house so he could try and die in peace. Oh, my God. A few days later, my mom bumped into the neighbors and told them of Monty's passing. They looked at her quizzically, asking, wait, when did you say he died? They told her last night when they took out the trash, they saw him in his favorite spot in the window, giving them dirty looks a full 3 days after he died. Insert Betsy Ew here. Ew! We were kind of bummed he didn't visit any of us, but I guess he just had to get that off his chest before moving along. Even though he was a total dick, he had his good moments. It's been 10 years and I still miss him sometimes. Now we have a pup named Jess who is crazy in completely different ways and loves staring at us with her creepy human-like eyes. Love, Alyssa. Whoa! Oh,
that's so funny. That dog was just like, I have unfinished
I cannot
business.
Move on. I have got to give the neighbors a fucking dirty look and then I can go. That's so wild.
Oh, that's, I mean...
Whoa, that's a really great ghost dog story.
Yes. Also, like, you know, when animals die, it's especially sad because as a human, I can barely grasp humans dying. So I have to project everything onto animals. Yeah. But yeah. If him being an asshole, you know, you're like, yeah, he probably wanted to. He was like, I'm a fucking out of here. I got
I'm
out of
here.
That dog smoked cigarettes and was just ready to go.
Yeah, yeah.
I've
lived a good long life. I've seen enough. I got to get out of here.
I've seen squirrels. I've seen the birds. I don't get it. It's nothing.
I've eaten trash. I've shit out ribbons. Here we go.
All right. All right.
I'm done here.
Hey.
Whoa. Monty.
Monty.
Little ghost dog.
Little ghost doggy. Let's listen. Do you ever listen to one?
Let's listen to one.
Okay.
Ooh, I'm scared. I'm too scared.
Hi, Marcy. Hi, Betsy. My name is Gabby, and I have a couple of stories to tell you. So these happened while I was in college. Actually, both of them did. So the first one is about an alien encounter. Well, actually, it's just a UFO. So one night, my friend and I, my best friend and I, were hanging out, watching some movies, and we wanted to go get some snacks. And we were in college, and so I lived right down the street from a Walmart. And we could have walked, but we decided to drive because it was kind of cold out. Anyways, and this was in North Carolina, by the way. Boone, North Carolina. So we were driving to Walmart, and my friend is in the passenger seat, and she's like, "Hey, what is that in front of the moon?" And the moon wasn't quite full. It was, I'm assuming, a waxing gibbous, because, you know, it wasn't fully full, but, you know, it was round. And I looked at it, and I was like, I don't know. I think it's just a branch. It's a branch. She's like, "No, idiot, the car is moving. How can it be a branch? This thing isn't moving." And I kept on looking at it, and I was like, "Oh, it's a cloud." She's like, "No, it can't be a cloud. It's too opaque. Like, you can't see through it. This isn't a cloud." And so we kept on driving, and we finally stopped, and we got out of the car, and we just stood there in the parking lot looking at the moon. And it was as if someone had taken a piece of pie, you know, out of the moon, like a little triangular shape. And we just stood there like, "What is this?" And it was dense. And as we were looking at it, you can kind of see that it was metal. And it was super dark. But you could see that it was metal just like from the light casted from the moon. And it was huge, huge. Like, it looked closer to us than as if it were, you know, in space, I guess. So we were watching it, and all of a sudden, it just starts going slowly down, and our mouths just dropped open, and then it shot away, just shot completely away. And we were like, "What was that?" And we start freaking out. We're like, "Oh my God, we just saw a UFO. We just saw a UFO." And it was kind of late at night, and so there were like just a couple of people in the parking lot, and it was insane. And, you know, we were talking about like getting videos from the Walmart, you know, security, and they're like, "That's ridiculous. They will never give us a security video." Anyway, so that's my first story about my alien encounter, or my UFO encounter. I keep saying alien. I did not see an alien. It was a UFO. It could have been a human being flying some spaceship. Anyways, so the second story was also in college. I was living with my friend, different friend, same college, and before we moved in together, I would go over, you know, to her apartment and just hang out. And one day, we were hosting a party at her apartment, and she was in the shower, and I decided to take a nap. I was exhausted, and, you know, I wanted to be up for this party, go party. And so I was taking a nap in her bedroom, and I experienced sleep paralysis, which I had experienced before and like multiple times. So I kind of like knew what the deal was. But what had woken me up out of my sleep was somebody had whispered my name. They're like, "Gabby." And I opened my eyes and I couldn't move, but I was looking around the room and there was nobody there. And so I thought in my mind, I was like, "Okay, I'm asleep. I can't move, but once my friend gets out of the shower and comes into her room, I'm going to wake up." And so I thought this, and the second she walked into the room, I like jolted up, and she was really surprised. She was like, what's happening? And I was like, "Oh man, you would not believe what happened. You know, I just had sleep paralysis and somebody said my name." And she was like, "What?" And she had like told me these stories of like how things would go missing, but then she would find them, or like how she would be asleep and her alarm wouldn't go off, but then she would just wake up and be like, "Oh my God," like right in the nick of time to get ready to go to class or work. And so, anyways, she and I ended up moving in together, and kind of the same things would happen where our alarms wouldn't go off. You know, we would forget to set them, or we would just be like asleep and have something to do the next day, and we would just wake up right in the nick of time. And we would lose things and, you know, be searching around the house, and all of a sudden they would appear where we had already looked. So, and it was just kind of funny, but like it would never seemed like anything bad, like a bad entity, if you will, but it was just, or spirit, it was just, you know, something that was kind of playful or something that was actually like helping us out. So one weekend she left and she had this box of unmentionables, and by unmentionables, it was a bowl to like smoke pot and a dildo and like a porno and something else, or a vibrator, wasn't a dildo. But so she had this box in her closet, and so she had gone away for the weekend, and I knew about this box, and I don't know, for some reason I was looking for it. I think maybe I wanted her bowl or the porno. I was looking for this box, and I knew it was in her closet, and she had two closets. They were like small. And so I looked, and I didn't want to like pull anything out because, you know, I was kind of going through her things, but I didn't want to like actually like start taking things out. It wasn't that important, to be honest. I could just go buy an apple from the store and smoke out of an apple, or, you know, Google porn. So I stopped looking and, you know, just went back to my room and whatever. And our rooms were right across the hall from each other, so I could see straight into her room from my bedroom door. And I was sitting at my desk when, like, the next day, I was sitting at my desk, and all of a sudden I heard this crash, and I was like, what is that? And so I looked into her room, and the box of unmentionables was on the floor, and it wasn't just like as if it had fallen out of the closet, and, you know, just like landed on the floor. It was in the middle of her bedroom floor, as if somebody had thrown it out. And I was like, okay, that's strange, and just closed her bedroom door and went along with my weekend. So Sunday night comes along and she, you know, goes to her room. She's like, hey, Gabby, were you going through my stuff? And I was like, no, why? She's like, well, because my box is like, my stuff is on the floor. And I was like, oh yeah. Like, I heard that fall out of your closet. And she's like, No, it couldn't have fallen out of my closet. It's like in the middle of my floor. And I was like, yeah, that's really weird. She's like, no. Are you sure you didn't go through my stuff? Like, I don't care. And I was like, no, why? Like, it's not, I was like, okay, I didn't go through your stuff. And she was like, this was behind other boxes. Like, it didn't just fall out of the closet. It was behind other boxes. And so we both kind of stared at each other like, what the fuck? And I was like, you know, I think it was the ghost that keeps on hiding things from us. Because, you know, she and I had talked about strange little things happening. And I was like, you know, maybe it was the ghost. And, backpedal. My friend, had been very close with her grandmother. And she was actually there when her grandmother passed, like in the hospital room. Like, she was there when she died. So we both assumed that since this ghost was very helpful to us, that it was her grandmother. And I was like, oh my god, you know what, it was your grandma. She found your box of unmentionables, of things that you were not supposed to have, and threw it out of your closet. And we just thought that was hilarious. So yeah, those are my two stories. I actually have quite a few other ones, but those are my most funny ones, the ones that I love telling people. So yeah, thanks. Have a good day. And I love your podcast. This is one of my favorite podcasts. Bye.
Thank you.
Whoa, dude.
That's so funny to me that grandma was just like, you want them? She can't have this.
She can't have this pot smoking stuff and vibrator and a porn
watching.
In my day, we had to imagine porno. I don't know.
We had to just suggestively smile at someone.
Yeah. I could get a guy a boner by showing him my ankle. That's how we did it.
So,
did they move into that apartment with the, or did the, or
it seems as if the friend had stuff going on with her.
Yes.
And then they moved in together somewhere.
Somewhere else. Okay,
that's how I took it, at least.
Okay, that's what I thought. But I was like, oh, is it the same place? But I do, I think it was grandma just being like, hey, hey, ladies, I'm
I
here.
Don't know. Or maybe she was like, guys, have fun with it. Here it is.
Yeah, have fun. Do this stuff. Don't hide it. Please. Have it out in the open, okay? Please. Smoke weed out of the vibrator. Do anything, please. And then UFO, dude.
Dude, I had such a hard time, like, even conceptual, like, visualizing what right. it was, you know?
Right.
Oh.
Eerie, man. Eerie.
You know, all, talking about the stuff going missing, though, this is just a personal anecdote that this week I fucking flipped out because I could not find my recycling bin.
Whoa.
I was just like, this doesn't make sense. Like the one that I keep by my trash can. It's like a smaller, it's like one of the smaller mesh trash cans.
Okay.
And I was like, where is it?
I know. Oh, so in your house.
In my house. I was like freaking out because I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
And then I was just like looking everywhere and I was, you know, looking out back by the other cans. And then I finally like went out to the road to look in the recycling bin and I had just thrown the whole thing out.
Yep. Okay.
For a moment, I was like, what if someone came in my house? But why would they do that? Are they just fucking with me?
That's just creepy crawling, man. Just moving a little thing. Ooh.
But nope. Just me being a weird.
It's so interesting how our brains can just do that sometimes, like just shut off. Or like I've had a couple of times, I'm trying to think of a specific time where like I tell myself do not like drop a plate or something, and then I just drop a plate. I'm like, wait, I told myself not to do that.
I could have sworn I said
did.
Don't.
I did it though. I did.
A weird thing that I have done is I couldn't find my phone and it was in the freezer. I was like,
so weird.
I'd put it there, I'm sure. So I was like, yes. That's so weird of me.
That's so strange.
So strange.
So strange. There's a little part of me that like that would really freak me out on my of just like is something. But it's also just like, oh no, sometimes our brains just kind of do that. Like
definitely throwing away a whole can of trash in a trash bin. like I was like, what is happening? But you know, our trash night is Wednesday, and that's when we had a true like insurgence on our Capitol, you know. So
right.
There was a lot going on
that's I feel when stuff happens. For me is when it's just like, oh, there's just a lot on my mind. So yes, I will throw out my entire trash can.
what a weird lady.
That's so funny. That's so wild.
And then someone whispering her name.
Dude. Grandma must have just been like, okay, so her name is, so this is Gabby. Okay,
Gabby.
Whisper her name. Gabby.
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 Gabby. Gabby, come here. Gabby. Gabby. Hey, Gabby. Hey, Gabby.
Hey, Gabby.
Hey,
what the
Gabby.
Fuck?
How you doing, Gabby? Come on, Gabby.
Did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they have forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about, I don't know, like 5 different subscriptions. I could not believe when they showed me how many I was paying for each month. And they tell me when something's coming up too. What a shocker. Between streaming services, fitness apps, and delivery services, it's never ending. And thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I've forgotten about. And, you know, I've been trying to save money. And it seems like my bank account, it was stuck. So I gave Rocket Money a try, and it turns out that I was paying for a bunch of stuff that I didn't need. And Rocket Money helped me cancel some of those. And now I'm finally starting to see my account balance going up again. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. That's rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years now. I go every single week. I don't even ever want to miss a week because it's so important for keeping me on track, especially during times where things are kind of tough, you know? It's really good to have a therapist you trust as a sounding board. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/afunnyfeeling today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/afunnyfeeling.
Should I read one?
Please do it.
I would love to read you a story, Marcy.
This is titled
Snuggle Up, Bundle Up, Gather Round by the Fire. I have a story to tell you. This is called Ghostly Makeout Sesh. And then it's got an eggplant emoji and a peach emoji. So kind of like a donger and a butt.
Okay.
Betsy, Marcy. To start, while I think this story is hilarious, I've only shared it with one other person because in retelling it, I come across as a bona fide crazy lady. However, I thought the two of you might get a kick out of it. And what's the harm in divulging an intensely personal yet undoubtedly steamy ghost story with thousands of fellow listeners? Oh, I'm excited. Okay.
Me too.
Several months ago, I was experiencing a fairly radical shift in both my professional and personal life, and so I welcomed the resulting stress like an old gal pal. I've always had some form of sleep issue, sleepwalking, hypnagogic hallucinations, sleep paralysis, and stress only seems to make it worse. One night, my partner, who was also feeling the strain of business-related woes, and I went to bed earlier than normal. We were both exhausted, and so we cuddled up and drifted off to sleep. A few hours later, I woke up to my boyfriend pawing at my boobs. He was nuzzling his face into my neck, and I got the feeling that he was ready to get busy. There was a little light bump and grind action for several minutes, but I was sort of dazed and not really in the mood. Side note, sorry if this is TMI, but he's usually not the one to initiate in the middle of the night, so I thought it was strange, especially considering we were both so worn out. The making out went on just a little bit longer until at one point I said, "I'm really tired, let's do this in the morning," and gently placed his hands back on his side of the bed. The next morning, we're both getting ready, and I jokingly said to my boyfriend, "Sorry about last night. I know you were really wanting these titties." Hell yes. Okay. You rule. He gives me a puzzled look and says, "What?" And I said, "Last night, you know, when you were touching my boobs. Sorry for shutting you down." Still confused, he says, "I don't know what you're talking about. Nothing happened last night. I thought he was trying to trick me, but he kept insisting that he had slept incredibly hard. Again, strange since he's usually a light sleeper, and that he would have definitely remembered if he had tried to smooch me. Later that afternoon, I reached out to a close friend and told her what happened. excuse me. Something about the experience wasn't sitting right with me because it felt incredibly real. After I finished my story, my friend said, "Sounds like an incubus visited you in your sleep. Better keep those covers pulled tight."
No.
Oh my God, no. A quick little Google search revealed that an incubus is a male demon believed to have sexual intercourse with sleeping women. Its counterpart is the succubus. The more I researched, the more I researched, the more icked out I became. Yeah, man. Many of the stories I read sounded eerily similar to what I experienced, and that was a hard no from me, dog. I just read that so stupid. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it cooler now.
Yeah,
dude. Many of the stories I read sounded eerily similar to what I experienced, and that was a hard no from me, dog. Did I do it better? Thank you. Well, I know that I wasn't. Okay. Take two. While I lean heavily into the paranormal and try to keep an open mind about most supernatural occurrences, the thought of a demon trying to bone me was too much. While I know that it wasn't a case of sleep paralysis, maybe I'll chalk this one up to some sort of insanely realistic lucid dream. My friend and I refer back to the titty demon at least once a week, and fingers crossed I'm not bearing the Antichrist anytime soon.
Oh, no.
Keep up the fabulous work as you continue to create a safe space to share. Woo! As you continue to create a safe space to share weird shit like this, best Big D.
Big D.
Thank you, Big D. Whoa, incubus, incubus.
You know, okay, so the whole incubus succubus thing, it's maybe was a way for people to explain nocturnal emissions.
Oh,
like when you have like, you know,
I just heard that term for the first time. Like this week or last week, I was so confused.
I've been whispering it outside your window for a while.
Oh, it was in that Heaven's Gate documentary on HBO, like talking about nocturnal emissions. And I was just like, ooh,
it's a wet dream.
Yeah, I've never heard it that way.
Yes, yes.
So they would blame that on succubuses and stuff?
Well, they thought it had to be because people would wake up having, you know, seemingly orgasmed and not understand how it could have happened. Not, you know, fully understanding that, like, the brain and the brain can do more to the body than other people sometimes.
Dude.
But I suspect sleeping boyfriend sex.
Right.
Like, if people can sleepwalk and like drive a car, then people can sleepwalk and grab a titty.
Somebody sleptwalk and killed people. At least that's what they said. It was sleepwalking. I think you could totally honk a titty.
Yeah, I think that's not, like, especially if someone were kind of like having the dream and it's like you, like they said about the hypnagogic or hypnopompic.
Yeah.
Could be something like that. And since he was in a deep sleep, he doesn't remember it.
Right.
It could be an incubus, but I'd honestly rather it just be a sleeping boyfriend who adhered to the consent when you said no.
Yeah. Like, even still sleeping, like, okay, great.
All right. I know. Right, it means no.
No means no. Thank you so much. Okay. What?
My sister and I had to share a bed, and I woke up and she's so tall. She had one of her long spider legs on top of me, and she was humping me.
Dude.
She was just asleep.
Sharing a bed can be wild.
But
sometimes
her legs are so, like, I'm 5'4 or 5'5, and she's more like 5'10, 5'11.
Whoa,
she's
yeah.
Much taller than me. And I was like, ah!
Get off of me.
She didn't remember doing it, but I was like, oh.
Yeah,
night humper.
I've been like hit in the face and stuff, you know, where it is just like wham, like, oh shit.
My friend Rebecca put her finger in my mouth.
Oh, yes. I remember you telling me that. That's wild.
Yes. She put her finger in my mouth and I was like, I bit her and she didn't move. And I was like, oh, okay. She's fucking asleep.
She's asleep, man.
So it could be an incubus, but I'd prefer at least.
Incubus is too scary, man.
I don't like a little horny old demon sneaking into your room.
I don't need a horny demon. I'm gonna fuck you. Nocturnal emissions. That's so gross. That's such a gross term.
What part's gross?
All of it. All of it just feels icky. Like, I would rather just be like, you fucking come in your bed. Like, that's so much not as icky as nocturnal emissions.
Yeah, I bet you would, you nasty cum gutter. That's what you said last week.
Did I say cum gutters? Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, everybody knows, but we're too polite to say.
What do you call them? If you have another term for that V part, then you tell me, because I don't know.
I guess I called it the V part. And that worked, and it didn't make anyone sick or anything.
Cum gutters didn't make anyone sick.
Nobody's sick, right? Everyone's fine, huh?
Everybody's doing fine.
Everyone's okay. all right, kind cum of gutters. Keeping in the theme of sexuality, this one is entitled, this is going to be really hard for me to read. It's like I was saying, it's got weird formatting. So let me actually just see if I can copy and paste it to something else, guys.
Yeah.
I don't think it's anyone's fault, but sometimes you give me some weird fucking formatting. And
It's pretty hard.
I just want to say.
Mars is going for it.
I'm furious. Okay.
Furious.
Dear Marcy and Betsy, yes, start off with me. I know her name's alphabetically first, but give me my...
Yeah, come on. What is this? B before M. Come on, man.
Yeah, M before B. Okay. Thank you all for the funny... Wait, did I read the title?
No.
Oh, well, that's something to read. It's entitled, A Homophobic Haunting?
What? Oh, I'm curious to see what this means.
Oh, I'm curious now. Thank you for all the funny feelings. I've binged the whole pod through a few times and will continue to. It gives me all the tee-hee-hees and the ooh, that's fucked up that I need.
Oh, yay. Oh, thank you.
So here's my current story. Whoa. 4 years ago, I moved to London. I moved from London to Northumberland. Yeah.
Northumberland. Nice.
Okay. 4 years ago, I moved from London to Northumberland with my partner, Martin, to look after his elderly mum. We intended to move near... Can't read, guys.
Hey, don't worry about it.
Nah, you don't need to read. That's a little overrated, you know?
You don't need to read.
Okay. So we intended to move nearby a city and be close to her for care. Wait, be close? Yeah, to care. I just can't. I'm being dyslexic, I guess. I don't know why.
It's okay, Marcy.
To be close to her to care for her. But her dementia developed quicker than we expected and ended up staying to keep her in her home and in a familiar setting with friends. My partner's father died 12 years before we moved up and was emotionally and physically abusive to his family and incredibly homophobic to Martin.
Oh.
The first time I came up to visit Martin's mom, I got a titty line funny feeling.
Woo, titty line! Yeah!
It didn't help that Martin's father liked to collect creepy tchotchkes that were placed all over the house, including gollywogs, which have now been binded. Bind, which now been binned. Okay, those are two words I don't exactly understand.
Gollywogs?
Will you look it up? I honestly...
Wait, what is it called? A gollywog?
Gollywogs. I think it's something racist.
Oh, no.
Like, it's like a little... But look it up so we know. Hurry!
I'm look... Oh, dear God.
Describe it, though.
I don't want to on this podcast.
Okay, is it something racist, though? Okay.
I mean, I'll show you.
Okay. She's going to show me. No one else. Everyone else has to do their own racist looking up things. Oh, yes. It's like a classic, like the blackface minstrel show doll, right?
Yeah.
So we know that's bad, guys. Don't have those. Like our friend says, those have been binned. I think that means put in a trash can.
Oh, okay. Yes. Good.
A lot of different windows popping up on my screen, guys. Getting images. Okay. The house is a bungalow that was built only 17 years ago. Martin's parents were the first occupants. It's a tiny village with quite an insular community that wasn't always welcoming to us gay couple, to us as a gay couple. So I've not felt welcome here, but particularly in this house, there is a persistent feeling that we are being watched. I spend a lot of time in the kitchen cooking and cleaning. Nightly, when I'm preparing dinner, I feel that someone has walked in and turned around. No one is there, but the door is now ajar. Standing about halfway open, as if someone is stood in the doorway looking in and feeling, and the feeling I get is of anger and rage.
Whoa.
Ugh.
Yipes.
I often check in on Margie, Martin's mom, who who I've got sat down to watch TV before dinner, and I always find her as I left her or asleep, and so I'm certain it's not her or Martin. I check the windows, but they're all shut, as well as the doors in the house, but there's no cross breeze to open the door. This happens literally every night. Whoa. This by itself isn't particularly anything, but on occasion when I've gone to bed by myself, I feel something grip onto my forearm, although nothing is there. Anxiety then begins to set in. Trigger warning, it is then followed by suicidal ideations. What the fuck?
What?
That stopped me in my track. There's more to read, but fuck.
What?
I'm going to read that again. And again, okay, trigger warning, but
yeah.
I feel something grip onto my forearm, although nothing is there. Anxiety then begins to set in. Trigger warning, it is then followed by suicidal ideations. Images of nooses begin flashing through my mind, and over time has moved on to more violent self-harming thoughts. These thoughts do not feel like they belong to me, and I've spoken to Martin about it, and he has felt the same ideations overwhelm him out of nowhere. He is a true skeptic, but says he can feel his dad's energy here, which of course is a struggle for him. Ick. Yes. Oh my god. I'm like covered in
me too.
New hair growth.
Yeah, your beard is very full now.
Oh, gosh.
Holy shit.
Okay. This has got a lot of trigger warnings, guys, and I apologize. Maybe I'll remember to put it earlier in the episode. Okay. Maybe another trigger warning. An aside to this story, which is related, Martin's father was friendly with one set of our neighbors who have a reputation in the local community for being tyrants and abusive to their neighbors. They were also church wardens, are related to local drug dealer, and were known to be running dogs over country lines. They are in their 70s and had a son that lived with them who is in his 50s. He has substance abuse issues and has been known to stalk local women and children at night.
What?
Get them out of here. These neighbors became increasingly abusive and aggressive over our time living here and caring for Margie. The climax was an assault on me and Martin by their son. After a long campaign of harassment and attempts to alienate us from within the community, we let the community know that they had been doing this and filled and they filled us in on what else had and what else they had been up to. The local community turned their backs on the neighbors, and fearing further legal action, the awful neighbors moved. Oh. We found out that they had moved here after causing the suicide of a gay man down in a village 15 miles from here, as what? Well as stalking and drug running. Oh my what? God. We received many thanks and congratulations when they finally moved away. This is so specifically like British. I just watched Broadchurch, and like running people out of towns is just, it doesn't happen anymore. And right. It doesn't happen in America enough.
Right.
ew. Let's see.
Whoa.
Okay. Wait, where did, wait, we now have, wait, we received many thanks and credit. Okay, they finally moved away. Great. We now have new, lovely new neighbors. However, since they moved into that house, they've told us that they wish they had never bought the house, which again was a new build with the awful old neighbors as it only as its only previous occupants. They say that the front bedroom, which belonged to their son, feels completely unbearable. Oh. There's a great sense of rage and hatred when they're in there, and it feels in the feel a need to leave. And they report the same for the parents' bedroom. Ew.
What the fuck, man?
Thank you for taking the time and for the pod. I've attacked some fan art that I made for you guys, which feels a bit cringe, but I felt that I wanted to do something for you both, seeing as you've both done a lot for me without knowing it. Feel free to use it however you like. Maybe use it for merch. Oh my God. I would love it if it could help you with some income in these trying times, and or if you don't like it, no big deal. I have some other stories from my family home, which used to be a Victorian dentist.
Whoa. Oh, you know some shit went down. A Victorian dentist.
That's basically a torturer.
There's pretty much just like, give me a hammer and I'll fucking hit you in the mouth with it.
Yeah, I have a spiked flogger.
And then take some
flogger.
Fucking cyanide.
and my old apartment in London, which was originally the prison officer's quarters for Pentonville Prison in Islington, where Oscar Wilde, Boy George, and George Michael had spent a stint locked up. Let me know if you want to hear them once again.
Yes, of course we do.
Thank you so much. Lots of love, Matthew.
We of course want to thank you for sending some fan art.
Oh my gosh. Wait, is there more than one? Maybe
That's
there was more
so
than
rad.
One. I think there might be more than one. Oh, cool. It's the same, but with different backgrounds. We checked it out. It is so fucking cool.
Dude, it feels like that area of that town is poisonous.
Poisonous.
Like, the neighbors and that house is just awful, awful, negative, awful hatred energy.
Absolutely. It's
the whole vibe of it.
And I don't even think it's just like, oh, the ghost of the bad dad or the bad neighbor. I think it's something more demonic.
I do. Like, I think it's a hot spot. Like, yeah. It just is like, oh, here's a really shitty, evil area of the world, and your house is on top of it, and it just fucking fuels hate and bad stuff.
Yes.
Whoa.
And maybe it draws people there.
Yeah, it could feed off of specific people.
But also, it could just infect people who maybe have their own, like a weakness or something already, or a predisposition possibly. That's horrible. That the idea that you literally feel something grip your forearm, and then before you know it, you are thinking about self-harm. That's like
so
classic,
scary, classic
scary demon shit.
It's so fucking scary and sad. And yeah, it feels just like, ooh, that's evil is what an only name. That's oof, that fucked me up, man.
I wonder if Margie if it's confusing for her, like if there's something that is causing demonic attack on people,
right?
And you have someone who is suffering with dementia. I wonder what if there's an if you know if there's any. I wonder if she's noticing things,
right?
I don't like it.
I don't like it one bit.
I do like the town running people out. Be like, what? They were rude to you? Well, let's get
them out of here.
Let's get the pitchforks and the torches.
That is so Broad Church when she said that. I was like, oh, yeah, they fucking run people out all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you get the Mila.
Mila. Mila.
Mila.
Mila. That show rules.
It's really
good.
If you're
looking for a fun, not fun, it's fucked up, but like just a good show.
Yeah.
It's on like Netflix. It's really good.
Great. Is it procedural? No, that's not what that is. It's a.
I don't know.
It's a crime drama.
Crime drama. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Procedural is like Law and Order, where it's a new one each week.
A new one every time. Yeah. So, no, it's like an overall. It's good. It's good. It's good.
It's good. It's good. That's a good.
Wow. All right.
We both read one, right? So we should listen to one?
Let's listen to one, huh?
Okay. Calm down.
Okay. All right. Chill out.
Hi, Betsy. Hi, Marcy. Hello, esteemed guest, unless this is a listener episode. Otherwise, that's awkward. Anyway, I sent y'all a story a few months ago, and it wasn't mine because I said that I have never had an experience. And then I realized that was a goddamn lie. I've had a few. Most of them happened while I was sleeping, though, so I don't really know for sure. But anyway, they all range from horrifying to like bittersweet. So I'll start with the worst one. So ever since I was a little girl, I've had like really vivid dreams. Like sometimes I'll tell my best friends about the dreams that I have and they're like, Sierra, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I wish I knew. So anyway, over the summer, I kind of just passed out on my couch watching TV and I wasn't really watching anything like scary, but in this dream, I could very vividly see this family just kind of going about their day. And then one of the parents went down to the basement to check something. And at some point, the entire family ended up down there. And I was kind of watching from, I don't know how y'all, what your vision is like in a dream. But for me, I'm either a character or it's like I'm just like watching everything unfold. This is one of those scenarios when I was just kind of like watching in third person. So I saw this whole family down there in the basement, and in their basement, they had like this hallway that led to an unfinished part of their basement. And it was like one of those shadows that were kind of lit, but not really. I don't know how else to explain it. And in that shadow, I saw these glowing eyes that looked like a cat's eyes when, you know, they're in the dark and light's reflecting off of them. But it was this, it was the eyes of this just really gaunt, horrible, like just very malnourished looking dude. And I just felt this horrendously vicious energy coming from him. And I woke up before it happened, but I knew he was there to like murder this poor family. And it was so, it stuck with me so intensely that I thought it couldn't have just been a dream. But when I woke up and realized it wasn't real, I was freaking out. So I texted my best friend who has had their own experiences with spirits. They're very connected to the spirit world, typical Pisces. And they said, yeah, that was probably like an entity. So for like the following week, I would not look into any doorways if it was late at night, just because that thing was just sticking with me. I never had the dream again, and as far as I know, no families were murdered that week, so who knows? Anyway, my next story, a few years ago, I had a goddaughter who passed away. She was 4.5 months old. It was SIDS. And it hit everyone really hard. I remember the guy I was dating at the time, he told me, and I just fell to the floor. like scream sobbing. We were outside. He had to drag me back into the house because there were children playing next door. And about a year or so later, I was babysitting this little boy, and it dawned on me that my goddaughter, Ember, she would have been about his age. And then all of a sudden, there was just like this shift in the energy and in the wind. I don't really know how to explain it. I don't know if you've ever had something like this happen to you when you've lost someone, but the air and the atmosphere, we were outside, everything just reminded me of the day that she passed away, and we were with her parents outside on the mom's parents' porch, and there was this breeze, and I just kind of felt her with us in that moment. And the same thing happened again that day years later. And I asked my same friend about that, and they said, yeah, that usually means that someone on the other side is thinking of you too. So that was a hard day. And then my last story, I had a little Bichon growing up. He lived to be about 17 years old. He passed away about 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago. Oh, wow. And that was really hard for me. As he got older, he came to live with me because I wasn't living at home anymore. And then I was there with him when he was put down. He had a really good life. Like he wasn't suffering. It was just time. And so when I was in the vet's office with him, waiting for them to come give him, you know, the euthanasia, I said to him, like, you let me know you made it to the other side. Okay. Like you come let me know. And after that, we had, hired a service to pick up his body and cremate him. And it took a while for them to, you know, finish the process. So it was a good week before we had him back home again in his little box. And that entire week, I didn't really get any signs. I didn't think anything really would happen. And then the first night that we got his ashes, he visited me in my dream. He was happy and healthy and running around in the yard of our old house that always shows up in my dreams whenever I imagine being home. And so, yeah, I just kind of took that as a sign that he was okay. Maybe it was just my grief, but I've always interpreted it as him letting me know that he made it to the other side okay, and that we'll see each other again on the Rainbow Bridge. So yeah, those are my stories. I guess I have one last one. It's not necessarily spooky, but it is scary. I'm recording from the bathtub, and I'm holding my phone just like right over the water, so at any time this thing could just go gone. But yeah, that's all I got. Sorry this was so long. Y'all have a great rest of your day. Bye.
Ooh,
very dangerous.
Too scary, man. That's too scary. Phone above the tub. Whoa.
The both visitation ones are very sweet, and
yes.
I just so sad about the godchild.
So that's so sad.
It also is so weird sometimes where, you know, I think it is paranormal, but also there's like the way that humans have constructed time and space and all that to fit into a framework which we understand.
Yeah.
Which as it relates to the paranormal, that like there can just be a moment that brings you so back emotionally.
Yes.
And like you're just, your whole being is back in that moment.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I don't necessarily think it's quite a time slip, but I do think it could be like a more spiritual like shift into
another
thing. But also like we don't know shit about
We don't any know anything, man. We don't know anything.
No. I know a little more than Betsy. No, I'm just kidding.
You absolutely do.
No, I don't.
Especially when it comes to this shit.
I'm making it up. I'm a liar.
You know way more than I do.
Big time liar.
Marcy's just a liar.
Just a liar, guys. I'm Jacob the liar.
And that dream, it's so wild, like, in dreams, just be like, I know why this creepy dude is here. Like, he's here to kill it. Like, that is so scary. It's so wild in dreams of just being like, I know exactly what is happening and it's bad or good or whatever.
Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of The Sixth Sense when Donnie Wahlberg is in Bruce Willis's bathroom.
And like...
Yeah, he shoots him. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, he was just gaunt but the way Sierra describes that nasty man.
Dude.
Nasty man. You know what it made me think, too, is that, you know, she was dreaming, but I was like, what if it's a sort of remote viewing?
Wait, what?
A remote viewing, something you can see something happening
from
somewhere else. Cats stop fighting each other. My cats are upset by it because the guy had cat eyes.
He had cat eyes, and they're like, "No, don't use. Don't put our eyes in a freak's head."
We're sick of these nasty stereotypes about demons and evils.
Whoa, remote viewing. What if? Whoa.
That's also so scary. This is why whole families should never go into a basement together.
No, you always got to leave someone up top. Someone's got to stay in the kitchen.
Look,
it's as simple as that.
They have to run for help or call someone.
Basements are too fucking scary unless they're really rad with like an air hockey table and ping pong. But other than that, if there's no air hockey table and ping pong, that's a creepy basement.
Honestly, never been into a basement I liked.
Really? Never?
They don't really have many in Louisiana, so I haven't had the most experience doing it, but no.
Okay.
Even though you'll be like, oh, this is cool, it's also cold.
A lot of times it's colder. It's colder. Yes. Yep.
It's too colder, Betsy.
It's too colder. It's way too colder.
Too colder. Basement. Too hot or too colder. All right. Too I'm going to read colder. One.
Okay. Yeah, read me one.
This is Hometown Cryptid.
Whoa, cool.
Hi, Betsy and Marcy. I'm a huge fan of the podcast and think you make a great spooky, funny duo.
Thank you.
It's been the best thing to bitch over the blip, blip, blip. Most people would edit it out. Not being able to read words, but not me.
But we're staying strong with not being able to read.
I'm authentic to the end.
Me too. I want people to see that I don't know how to read.
I think it just helps normalize it for everyone.
Exactly.
I'm not ashamed. I'm non-reading ability pause. it's been the best thing to binge over the quarantine and has opened me up to realize how many paranormal experiences I've had in my life that I previously explained away.
Whoa.
So thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Very welcome.
Anyway, I wanted to... What'd you say?
That's exciting.
Oh, I love when we jog a memory.
Love a good memory jog.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I want to tell you the story of a cryptid that is unique to my hometown of Napa, California.
Ooh, the wine bottle freak.
Yes.
This little wine bottle with a bunch of legs. I've heard of it.
Oh, yeah. Most people hear Napa Valley and think of wine, but locals know there is much more. And then they're like, everyone else is fucking stupid.
Everyone's fucking dumb, dude.
There is a state hospital where the Cramps played a concert in the 70s and where serial killer Ed Kemper once lived. And there's a local legend of the Rebob. Growing up, I would always hear stories about Rebob and didn't realize they were unique until I got older. My dad likes to mess with me and my sister when we were little and would tell us stories about Rebobs to scare us. The legend goes that years ago, a mad scientist living at the top of the hill at the end of Patrick Road was experimenting on monkeys and created the Rebob, a flying monkey bat robot creature with a taste for blood. Think Wizard of Oz flying monkeys, but scarier.
What?
In the version of the story I always heard, the Rebobs eventually broke free of their cages, killing and eating the mad scientists, and were left to roam the top of Patrick Road, where they would terrorize the locals to this day. I have tons of memories of underage drinking with friends on Patrick Road, looking for Rebobs and scaring the shit out of ourselves.
Hell yes.
That sounds like my heaven.
That sounds so fun.
It did not help that the dead end of Patrick Road is met with the Victorian facade of a stone and iron gate that seemingly leads to the mad scientist castle.
Yes.
Here is an excerpt I found on exemplor.com that that gives a more detailed account of the legend. Okay. Variations of the legend suggest that if you wait in your car at the end of Patrick Road, Rebobs will eventually come out of the trees to attack and jump on it.
Whoa!
Others say they will hide in the trees on the same road and you must search for them. It is believed that the Rebobs target couples specifically, lying in wait at the Patrick Cemetery lying in wait at the Patrick Cemetery for young lovers, then attacking them to satisfy their craving for young, passion-filled flesh and blood. That's according to the local newspaper. Another variation states that Rebobs will come through windows at night and snatch sleeping children from their beds.
Ooh.
They would then eat and dismember the children or force them into slavery.
Ooh,
this variation Rebobs also blames them for stealing and skinning cats.
Whoa.
In hindsight, the legend of the Rebob is probably just something my dad's generation made up to scare girls and later on their kids. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed the story of my hometown cryptid, and thank you for reading, Ashley.
Wow, I did. I looked them up. I sent you the Google images of them. They're wild. Oh. They are like fly monkeys.
They're funny.
So funny.
I love
them. Whoa. Mad scientist. I love everything. Every specific about this is perfect.
You know, these kinds of hometown cryptid lore things cannot work in today's modern society because kids could just easily Google, are there missing children?
Right. Exactly. As soon as your parents are like, hey, the Rebob's going to get you if you go party in the woods, they'd be like, what? Yeah, they do that. And then they could just look and be like, nuh-uh.
They love horny teens the most.
They love horny teens, and we know you're the horniest.
We've seen your socks.
A Rebob. Napa High School is, their mascot is a Rebob. That's fun.
That's
fun to have your mascot be like a cryptid.
Cryptoid? I mean, the Jersey Devils.
True.
Mm-hmm.
True.
That little the Mets guy. It's Mr. Met, who's a baseball. Sorry. But the other guy, who's the guy from Philly?
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. That guy.
That guy.
Sure there's many more. You know, that guy.
You know, that guy. That guy.
Or the Zephyrs, right? That's a thing. What's a zephyr?
Isn't that a thing that flies?
Yeah, I'm stupid. Yeah, I'm stupid.
But maybe not. Oh, it's a car? Or?
It's okay. It's
a
like
funky car?
Are you just image searching it?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's either a soft, gentle breeze or a fine cotton gingham. I don't think either of those. It's a Greek. It's a Greek origin, and the meaning of Zephyr is west wind.
Oh, Zephyrus, the personified west wind.
Okay,
Greece.
Okay, I hear you,
Greece. Okay. Would you like me to read
one? Let's do one more. Yeah.
Okay. This one's titled "My Mom Chatted with Her Ghost Dad in a Karaoke Bar."
Fun. Fun.
That's very fun. Hi, Betsy. Hi, Betsy and Marcy. I love your podcast so much. I've gotten all my friends turned on to it. And surprisingly, the quote that has stuck with us that we say the most is Betsy shouting Bly House in the middle of an ad for some app. So truly, thank you for all of this incredible content. What's that? I was screaming Bly House?
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, that sounds about right. I watched Bly House. That's about it. Okay, now to the story. It is technically my mom's story, but I've had her tell it to me so many times that I know it by heart. It happened a couple months after my mom's dad, Grandpa Mike, passed away at the end of 2006. I almost did 2006. Passed away at the end of 2006. Actually, it was significantly the night before my mom, Karen, was going to take her sister and I to camp that following summer in 2007. This is important because that camp was very special to Grandpa Mike and the rest of our family. Mike had never gone himself, but he loved camping and sent his children and grandchildren to this camp that meant so much to us. Shout out to any other Chimney Corners alum listeners. Woo!
Woo-woo!
I hope there's some more Chimney Corners. And that's a cute name.
That's very sweet. That's very sweet.
That's very sweet. That's a very sweet name. He would always come with my mom on drop-off day, and this would be the first summer he wouldn't be there.
Oh.
So the night before, my mom and stepdad went out to do their favorite hobby, sing karaoke at the local bar. Very cool.
I love it.
After belting her little heart out to some Pat Benatar song, yes, my mom went to the bar while my stepdad went on stage for his song. She didn't notice him at first, but after she ordered her drink, the man sitting directly to her right said, "You are an incredible singer. You're very talented." He was an older man in his 70s, and my mom said she noticed right away that he was wearing a pair of those chunky old people sunglasses indoors at night because his eyes were sensitive. My mom said something like, "Oh, thank you. I just don't care about embarrassing myself to have a good time performing. Humble as always." They had a short conversation, no longer than the length of my stepdad's song, where the man mentioned he had worked in the Diamond District in New York City, something that was coincidentally also true about my Grandpa Mike. But everything changed when the man placed his hand gently on top of my mom's to say, "It was nice talking to you." The second he touched her, my mom completely froze, and she realized, this is Mike. I have chills on the back of my head.
I just got, yeah.
He looked exactly like him, from his humongous ears to his newsboy cap to his short-sleeve button-up shirt and khaki pants. But more than anything, it was the feeling of his energy transferred through his touch. Oh. She was so shocked she didn't even respond as he was departing their conversation. She was overcome with emotion, realizing Mike had visited her right before camp, letting her know she was not alone. Oh, once my stepdad finished singing, my mom went to try to explain to him what had happened, but still being very emotional, all she said was, "The man at the bar, my stepdad had seen them talking while he was on stage, and he finished, he reminded you of your dad." Whoa.
Yeah.
To add another twist, my stepdad had never met my grandpa before he died, so this was also a gut feeling he had in the moment. My mom responded, "No, he was my dad." And when she turned around to find him, he was gone. She says it was like he vaporized. Well, that's my story. Camp drop-off went off without a hitch, especially with Grandpa Mike's energy so close to us. For an added bonus, I found out several years later that there was a camp ghost story spreading around about my grandpa haunting a certain cabin because my sister told her friends that we had spread some of his ashes on the campgrounds, which is true, but damn, Erica, keep that shit to yourself. I don't think he's really haunting camp, but I do find joy in him becoming more and more a part of camp legend, keeping his memory alive longer and longer. Thanks again, ladies. Zoe.
Oh.
Whoa, how cool to have your grandpa be a camp legend.
Oh, I love it. So I love it.
I love that so much.
I know exactly how my grandfather would haunt, because he had those in his home. They had the wood paneling.
Yes.
All throughout the house.
Yes.
And he would always, like when he was coming down the hall, he would bang on both sides.
Yes.
To scare us.
He would absolutely do that.
Mm-hmm. And I actually, you know what? Now that I'm thinking of it, I remember my sister's kids saying that they heard that sometimes because they lived there after he passed.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then my nephew would be like, there's an old lady in my closet.
Good God.
No, he would say, Mama's in my closet. And that was her wig closet. So.
Oh, whole closet with wigs. Awesome.
Wigs. And that's where her fine clothes were.
Ooh, of course. Wigs and fine clothes.
Honestly, most drag queens are being my grandmother.
Oh, yeah. That sounds about right.
She can't jump into a split, though. Never could.
She can't death drop?
No.
She never could? Come on.
Never could.
Come on, Mama.
Mama, no, no.
Come on. Wow. That was
fun.
Incredible. These are so good. And like him being at the bar, that's cool, man.
That's what I was gonna say. I was like, if I got off stage and someone were like, oh my God, I was just talking to my dad, I'd be like, so you didn't hear anything I did?
Oh, you didn't hear me singing It's My Life by John Bon Jovi?
Okay, listen to you, but okay. Okay, that's fine.
But you just go right to the bar and have a conversation. Okay.
Okay,
hey,
yeah.
That's cool.
Oh, you're
no, this is fun. This is
sure,
fun.
You're, sure, sure. Your dad was there, of course.
Yes, yes, of course. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, I just want you to know
it's
I
my
really
life
nailed
and it's now or never.
Stop singing. Stop singing.
My Frank said I did it my way. I just want to live while I'm alive. It's my life.
What a funny, funny song. Wait, how does it go again? Do that.
The wow, guitar wow. It's I think it's like the bass, but it's so like. It's
yes.
very growly.
It's very growly. I mean, that whole song is so growly.
It's such a funny song to come out. It came out in the aughts, I want to say. No.
Yeah, I feel like it
came out too late for what it sounded like, you know?
Yes. Bow, wow.
It's my life.
Released 2000.
Damn, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good.
That was very, very good.
That's what we called the 2000s kiddos, the aughts.
The aughts.
The
that
early
shit,
aughts.
The aughts. That is aughts.
Aughts. These were
man.
So great. I
these
enjoyed it.
So great. I had a ball. I had
also,
a ball.
I fucking love the artwork that Matthew made for us.
I do too. It's really rad. We will share it and use it.
I'm going to take you up on it. We're gonna use it.
We're gonna use it because it's awesome.
It is.
Thank you all so much for sharing your stories. Keep them coming. We're loving it.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Don't shit your pants. Don't have an incubus.
If you do shit your pants, let us know.
Take a picture. Take a selfie. Take a smelfie.
A smelfie of you. Just your face. We don't need to see the doo-doo in your pants, but maybe just the face before or after or during the doo-doo in the pants.
It's just that my kink is humiliation by surprise shit, so that is, I really like it.
Whoa, Marcy, really? That's good to know.
Sweet kink. All right.
Okay.
I'm done.
I'm fucking finished. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for listening to A Funny Feeling.
If you have a paranormal experience that you would like to share, please send us a voice memo, or you can email us just a letter at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com. I'm Marcy.
I'm Betsy. And don't shit your pants.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.